So friends, our reading this morning comes from the Gospel of John, chapter 6, verses 53 through 56. And this is right out of the New Revised Standard Version, so if you follow along in your Bible, you'll be reading the same words. So Jesus said to them, "Very truly I tell you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Those who eat my flesh and drink my blood have eternal life, and I will raise them up on the last day. For my flesh is true food, and my blood is true drink. Those who eat my flesh and drink my blood abide in me, and I in them." Here ends our reading. May we be blessed with understanding. Would you please pray with me? Good and gracious God, we pray this morning that your word might speak to us both in these words of scripture and in these words of mine. This we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. So some of you may already know this, but a truly groundbreaking trend has swept across our nation over the past decade or so. In the past 2 years, though, it has really reached a peak, achieving that coveted status in the internet age of being considered a viral phenomenon. This trend is one affecting only our nation's teenagers, primarily those in their junior and senior years of high school. So what, pray tell, is this trend, you're probably wondering? In what has come to be known as a promposal, a combination or a portmanteau of the words prom and proposal, this trend involves teenagers inviting their love interests, whether they're already dating or not, inviting them to prom in an extraordinarily elaborate fashion. Promposal. Gone are the days when you could just ask your boyfriend or girlfriend to prom with a spare and Spartan verbiage. "Will you go to prom with me?" Ushered in is a new, far much more complicated era in which you must go to great lengths to express your desire to go to prom with someone. A quick internet search will reveal several tried and true promposal techniques. The far and away most used technique you'll find is simply to surprise your prospective date by gathering a group of friends together to spell out your request across a number of handmade signs. Another popular method involves accompanying your prom request with some food. Donuts, pizza, and believe it or not, and this is true, McDonald's chicken nuggets seem to be the most popular food items in promposals. Nothing so plies the heart as empty calories. Teens from more affluent households who are able to throw a little bit of cash at this project can actually rent out billboards to make even bolder, more public gestures of their affection. And then, of course, there are always those unique few who forge their own path. Like this young man who called in the coercing influence of an absurdly cute baby goat to ask his love interest to prom. I imagine that worked. I didn't actually find out, but one can only imagine. So all this promposal business, as you can see, it's a whole thing. It's a cultural movement among the younger generations in our country. So when this phenomenon first kind of blipped across my radar, I, being the old spirit that I am, just kind of shook my head and thought, man, these darn teenagers are just making a big fuss out of something that should be just so simple. In my humble opinion, if you're already dating someone, you should be able to assume that they want to go to prom with you, even if you don't invest a lot of time and energy and money in the asking. And on the flip side of that, if you have to go to all that trouble just to convince someone to go to prom with you, you should probably be looking elsewhere for a prom date. And yet, underneath all the excess and I think what we can call ridiculousness of this promposal trend, there seems to lie a truly genuine impulse. This impulse is one that says, even though I shouldn't technically have to do this, even though I don't particularly need to do this, even though this is taking something actually quite mundane and making a really big deal out of it, I'm going to go ahead and make this big fuss because I need you to know how much I want to go to prom with you. At the end of the day, that's not an altogether bad sentiment to try to get across to the person that you love, or at least like enough to take to prom. I think, though, that if we were to take a step back for a moment, if we were to take off our judgy caps for just a second and set aside our concerns about these promposals being colossal waste of resources, we might just recognize that this underlying impulse that we see in the promposal is actually familiar to us. We might recognize it as something that we've seen at work elsewhere in our lives. In fact, if we thought long enough about it and hard enough about it, we might even recognize this impulse as something that we saw here last week at work at our communion table. Stick with me, I'm going somewhere with this. Trust me. The great Protestant reformer Martin Luther maintained that believing the gospel in and of itself is not a hard thing to do. The hard part, Luther argued, is believing that the gospel is actually a message for you personally. I follow a long line of theologians in believing that the sacraments that we celebrate, there's just two in our church, communion and baptism, I believe these sacraments were given to us by Jesus for exactly that reason, to convince us that the gospel really is for us. Or to put it in the words of today's reading from John, the sacraments convince us of and make real for us the fact that Christ abides in us and we in him. So how exactly do they accomplish that somewhat amazing feat? Just like these promposals, sacraments make mundane things, rather take mundane things, and transform them into something extraordinary to make that point perfectly clear to us. In baptism, something as common as water, a thing that covers 71% of the earth's surface, that common place water is taken and it's blessed, and it's used to signal nothing less than the death of our old selves and the birth of our new selves in Christ. In the sacrament of communion, things as common as bread and wine, the everyday foods of Jesus' day, these everyday foods are taken and they're blessed and they're used to signal nothing less than our continuing participation in the life and the body of Christ. The impulse and the logic at work in these rituals should at this point sound a little bit familiar to us, because in both baptism and communion, we hear said to us this: even though I, the Almighty and all-powerful God, shouldn't technically have to do this, even though I, the ever-present and ever-living Spirit, don't particularly need to do this, even though this is taking something actually quite mundane, water, bread, wine, and making a really big deal out of it, I, the God who already sent my Son to live and die in the world for your sake, am going to go ahead and make this big fuss because I need you to know how much, how much you are loved. Friends, this morning, hear this good news. Really hear this good news. Because as both I and Luther want you to believe, it really is for you. Amen.